Father, we do come before your throne, and Lord, we thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you that we can just step aside from the world at this time and, Father, consider your word once again. And Lord, despite the fact that we may be tired and that, Lord, there are many things that we could be doing and, Father, are planning to do, I pray that we would honour you this moment and put aside those thoughts of the coming week and of the past week and allow your word to fill our hearts and minds at this time and allow your spirit to minister to us and, Father, revive us within our souls, we pray. And I do ask these things in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. I don't think I would have anyone argue with me that never in the church's history has the world had such an influence on the Christian's mind. Never in the church's history have Christians been bombarded with things that want to steal the thoughts of their mind. Try and think for a moment back to the days of the Apostle Paul and what it would have been like for them. For example, there was no TV, and the advertisement that they would have seen there, the no influence from the opinions of those maybe reporting certain news stories, no influence from any TV shows that were on the TVs, no radio, and so as they're travelling somewhere, they weren't listening to somebody else and the opinions of someone else. No CDs or iPods to listen to music wherever they're travelling and have those lyrics continually going around in their mind and being reinforced. No junk mail being delivered to their house where they can flip through and see everything that they're missing out on. No shopping centres where they can go and just unleash all their desires and wants in buying whatever they've seen in those junk mail magazines. No computers with internet where they can hear and see what others all over the world are saying and what their opinions are from just their very within their home, like us today. You know, they wouldn't have had a clue what others in other countries are saying and thinking and what's happening, where for us, we can know everything that's happening within a second. And so, could you imagine how less cluttered their mind must have been? If, particularly living in those days, and the influence that the world would have had on your mind back then would have been minute compared to what it was or what it is today. But we do know from God's word, as we look at the epistles, that even in those days, it was extremely important for Christians to guard their mind so that they aren't being influenced by the world. And so, even in the days of the Apostle Paul, with hardly anything compared to us, when it comes to the influence within a mind, there was a need for them to gird up their minds and make sure they weren't being influenced by the world. And so, if that was the case back then, can you imagine how essential it is for us, living in our world today, how we need to make sure that we aren't being influenced in our minds from the world? Because the reality is the world has gone crazy. Information and the bombardment of that information on a person's mind is like it never has been before. And one thing we can be very certain of, and that is that the God of this world will use this ability to bombard the Christian or anybody's mind. He will use it to extend his kingdom of darkness. We can be certain of that. That he will use all this information that's at the hands of everyone to extend his kingdom. And he will use these means also to destroy the Christian's mind so they aren't able to think the way that the Lord wants them to think. Because he knows very well that the way a person thinks will have a major influence on their actions and on their attitudes. And so, we can be sure that Satan will do everything that he possibly can to influence our mind with all these avenues. And you know, that because of that, it shouldn't be any surprise that the Christian's mind is certainly the major battlefield today. A battlefield where we as Christians need to have strongholds, where we can have safety. Otherwise, the hope of enjoying peace and joy and purity and that closeness with the Lord is just about impossible. The reality is, for us as Christians, that there are many people and many things that want to replace that joy and peace and all the comfort that comes from the Lord and replace it with other things instead. And since there are so many worldly influences today trying to take hold of our mind and what we think, it's no surprise then that for many Christians, their minds are full of anxiety or depression or lust or discontentment or anger or rebellion, and the list goes on. And the reason why so many Christians have this mind that's full of all these things instead of the peace, joy and happiness that the Lord wants to give is because many Christians, too many Christians, have given in to those influences that surround them, and they have just let it all come in. And so then it begins to influence them in a terrible way. And if I was to get you to do some homework this week, which I won't, but I have done this with people, is I want them to write down every thought that comes into their mind and what every thought that they find themselves dwelling on, all right? And you write down all these thoughts and how often you think about them. As you're starting to write down those thoughts of resentment towards somebody, all those lustful thoughts that you indulge in, all those covetous thoughts that you chew over, as you start to write down all the thoughts that you have, you may then start to realize why you find it very hard to feel close to the Lord, or you find that you are distant from the Lord. When you start to stack up all the sinful, godless things that you think of, and then you just look at the few times you actually dwell on the Lord and think about Him, you might start to realize why you have so many struggles in your life. And it is very good sometimes for us to do a check on our thoughts and see what we allow to just dwell in our mind continually during the day. And it may show the reason why you actually feel so sad so often, or why you feel so anxious so often, or why you feel so angry so often, instead of having that joy and that peace that the Lord wants to give. Because be very sure that our thoughts influence our feelings. That's how it works. And here in Philippians, God gives us guidelines of what we should allow in our mind, and also guidelines on what we should allow to stay and churn over in our mind as well. And here we're told that the Lord will keep our hearts and our minds if we do certain things. If we read there in verse 7, it says this. Well, let's read verse 6 as well. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And this is what it says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. And so we are told that God's peace will keep our hearts and minds. Now, the word heart there simply means our feelings, how we're feeling, which we often talk about. I feel such and such, or I feel da da da. We're told that it'll keep our feelings. Also, when it talks about our mind, that's our thoughts. It will keep our thoughts. Now, the word there, keep, also is a military term that's talking about guarding. You are the sentry on duty and you're keeping an eye out, and you will guard and you will protect. And so we're told that God's peace will stand on guard and keep our feelings and protect our thoughts if we do certain things. You see, God has particular things that He wants us to do in order for us to enjoy God's peace. And if you're sitting there today and you're hearing about how God wants to give you peace and joy and all these other things, and you're sitting there and saying, oh, I don't have any of that. I know why you don't. Because you're not playing your part. God says, if you do this, I will do this for you. And so we have a part to play. And the key sentence in this passage is the very last four words of verse 8, where it says, think on these things. He wants us to think on certain things. You know, we all know that hundreds of people are fighting for our minds and our thoughts. For example, when we get hungry, McDonald's wants us to think about them, don't they? When we're looking for toothpaste, you're thinking of someone already. I'm thinking of Colgate, all right? When you're wanting to listen to music, there are musicians that want you to think about them. You see, we have been bombarded because people want us to think on certain things. But we can be sure that Satan wants us to think on certain things that he has to offer as well. When we feel like this, we will think on the things he has to offer. He wants us to do that. There is our sinful flesh and our sinful memories that want us to think on certain things as well. And these are the facts about our mind, and that is we can be influenced on what we think. People are willing to spend millions of dollars because they know that fact, where they will highlight their product and convince us about this product, and we are exposed to this product all the time, to the point where when we feel like something, we think about their product. We feel hungry, let's go to McDonald's or whatever it may be. That's the way it can happen. We can be influenced in our mind. Also, the fact of our mind is we can train our mind to think on certain things. We can train our mind. It's just not this dog that's running around and it can never be tamed. Our mind can be trained to think on certain things. And the reality is we can build up habits in our mind. We can build up godly habits or ungodly habits, depending on what we reinforce and continue to churn over in our mind. But we can build up habits in our mind. And what we train our mind to consistently think of will make all the difference between enjoying God's peace or not enjoying God's peace. It comes down to what we want to train our mind to think on. And if we want to enjoy God's peace to guard our minds so we can keep our minds in this very crazy world that we live in, well, then there are certain things he has told us to do. And in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 8, we're given the process on how to enjoy that help that God has to offer for us. And I think this is good for all of us. It's good for me, and because we all need to be redirected sometimes. And it may also reveal why you may be feeling so sad so often, because it's what you're thinking on. Now, the first thing we see here from verse 6 is that we are told to cast down what I've called crazy thinking. I've tried to go with C's, that's why. Where it says, be careful for nothing, for starters. We are told we are not to get anxious and consume our mind with the wrong things. Do not be careful. Do not be worrying and churning over in our minds anything that is obviously sinful. Be careful for nothing. We are told that we are not allowed to let our mind run wild. You know, over in 2 Corinthians 10:5, we're told casting down, that is, demolishing or destroying imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity, so you round them up and you get them here and you bring them into captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ. And so the Lord has told us that we are to bring every thought into obedience to him, where we are to compare our thoughts with God and what his standard is. And if something does not meet up with God's standard, well, then we are told to bring that into captivity and to destroy it. We are to be obedient to the Lord in all of our life, including our minds. And the fact that he tells us to do it shows it's possible. He said, I'll give you the grace to do it. We can't just let our mind run down any road that it wants to run down. There are some thoughts that God wants us to get hold of and destroy. And as Christians, we don't have a license to just think as we want. You know, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, the Apostle Peter there says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober, he says. And he's taken that phrase of girding up the loins from what the soldiers would do in those days where they went into battle. They would gird up their loins, and that is, they'd tuck in their little dresses that they had to wear in those days. And so that as they're running out the battle, they don't trip over their little dresses and fall over and get stabbed. And so what they had to do is they had to pick it up and tuck it in and gird up their loins, and then they could go into battle. They just can't run into the battle with their little dresses flapping around everywhere. It's not manly, if anything else, but it's not sensible. And this is what Peter says when it comes to the Christian in the battlefield that we have. You just can't let your mind flap around as you want. You have to gird up the loins of your mind, and he says, be sober-minded. That is, start controlling the way that you think. And if you're here tonight and you're full of angry thoughts, or if you're full of anxious thoughts, or if you're full of bitter thoughts, or you're full of immoral thoughts, well, then there is one thing that you can be very sure of, and that is you are not girding up the loins of your mind, and that you haven't tucked in your thoughts, but you're letting them flap around wherever they want, and you are actually disobeying the Lord. You might be sitting there thinking, oh, I'm just so sad because of this, or I'm so bitter because of this, or I'm so angry because of this, or anxious. And you might think, poor me. But the reality is you're in disobedience to God. You're letting your mind go wherever it wants. Where he says, gird up the loins of your mind. And on the basis of that, if you're sitting there having all these feelings and thoughts, well, then I can guarantee one thing on the basis of God's word, and that is, you are not enjoying the peace of God that passes all understanding. Someone that lets their mind run around everywhere cannot and will not enjoy the peace of God that passes all understanding. It's impossible. You just can't sit there full of sorrow or hurt and dwelling on that and enjoy the peace of God which passes all understanding. And so, the first step to enjoying God's peace is to cast down crazy thinking. That is, you just confess it as a sin and you push it out of your mind, but it doesn't end there. It's a process, and that is, you fill those thoughts with the right thinking instead. And that's what it goes on to talk about here, and this is the second. I've only got 2 points, actually. Second point is, we are told to take hold of the correct way of thinking, and that continues on in this verse, in verse 6, where first of all says, be careful for nothing, cast down crazy thinking, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. That's the first thing. Well, there's two things here. Now, the second point has 3 points to it. So, but we see here, first of all, that there needs to be prayer. Now, you've been a Christian long enough and you say, yeah, I know, pray, you've got to pray about it. And we push it aside as though, no, there must be more to it than this. But the reality is the right way of thinking starts with making your prayer, or as we see here, supplication to the Lord. Supplication shows that you're just not going and talking to the Lord about it and telling him how unfair it is and how sad you are and blah, 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 blah. You're just not reinforcing it by praying to God or talking about it. Supplication means that you're going and asking God for help. That's what you're doing. And you know, there are some times that I have been so sad or so angry or so hurt that the only prayer I could manage was, Lord, help me. I can't change my heart myself. Please change it for me. I've been so furious that I could not do anything but that. Lord, please help me change my heart because I can't do it. Or I've been so hurt by someone that I say, Lord, I can't change my heart. Please do it for me. And when you go and you do that, what you're actually showing is that you understand and you're laying it before the Lord that you can't do this yourself. This is not Alan Mitchell going to fix all Alan Mitchell's problems. This is Alan Mitchell acknowledging and humbling myself in the sight of God, saying, Lord, I can't do this. And when he sees a humble spirit, then he says, I will give grace to the humble. And that's what we do. Shows that we can't do it in our own strength. And can I encourage you, when you feel persecuted, pray for grace to endure. When you have a problem, pray for wisdom to know what God wants you to be doing. When you're hurt, pray that the Lord will allow you to act like Christ regardless and for Him to heal your broken heart. When you're tempted, pray, God, give me the grace to resist this temptation because I can't do it in my own strength. When you're sad, pray that the Lord will bring that peace and help you to dwell on those things that are lovely and not on those things that are sad. When you're anxious, pray that the Lord will show you how wonderful and great He is and how you don't need to fear. See how there's a difference between talking to the Lord about all your problems and sad and confirming it all and reinforcing it as opposed to asking God for your help or His help. A lot of our troubles is I have a problem and I'm going to try and sort it out myself. And so I'm going to sit here and I'm going to think about it a million times in the day until I can solve it myself. When the reality is we need to say, I have a problem, Lord, I need you to solve it. You know, when Adam and Eve sinned, their first reaction was to try and sort out their problem their way. And so they went and tried to get the fig leaves or the leaves and to cover their own nakedness. And so they busily went to work doing that, no doubt fretting and making sure it covers them properly. And how are we going to do this? They tried to solve their problems their own way. And then the Lord came along and He made a much better covering and He did all the work. He didn't say, now I want you to go out and get that beast and I want you to kill it and da da da. God did all the work for them and He gave them a much better covering. And they would have saved themselves a lot of trouble if they had just gone to the Lord in the first place and confessed their sin and how they need His help at this time and allow Him to cover them in the first place. And we need to see that our worrying and our endless churning in our mind over various things are our fig leaves. This is us trying to solve our problems our way. That's what it is. Your churning is you trying to solve your problems your way, and you're trying to solve your problems, cover up your sin, cover up your hurt in your own strength. And what you're doing is, I'm trying to get rid of my hurt or sadness, I'm trying to get rid of these problems, and the way I'm doing it is I'm just continually churning it over in my mind. But what you are actually doing is you're reinforcing it in your mind so that it's just in there and it will never get out. And that's when it starts to affect every other part of your life. In the hope of trying to solve your problem by thinking about it a million times in the day, you're actually reinforcing your problem and making yourself worse. It'll only be when you stop striving in your own flesh and you come to the Lord and say, Lord, I need your help to get over this, whatever it is. I cannot do it myself. That's when He can go to work. But it starts with that, praying, supplication. But then we also read here, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. You know, every time that I've heard someone mention this, they say something like this. You pray and ask God for what you need, and then you thank Him for the answer, praying in faith that He'll do what's best. Now, I'm not saying that's wrong. But I don't think that's just all there is. I do believe it's also saying that in making our request to God, we should make it clear we are thankful for past mercies and past answers to prayer. And when we come before the Lord and we make our requests with thanksgiving Him, thanking Him for the way that He's answered prayer before, how He's kept His promise in times by, how He's miraculously done things for us in the past, what that actually does is reinforce within us the confidence that we can actually have in the Lord, that He is someone that does answer prayer. As we're told in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. And I do believe that we are to rejoice and give thanks for the Lord when we come to Him for helping us in times past. Rejoice and give thanks to Him for answering our prayers in the past. Rejoice and give thanks to Him for the way that He's promised that He will not allow us to be tempted above what we're able, but will, with that temptation, also make a way of escape. Thank Him for that, for the promise, and for how He's answered that prayer in the past. Thank Him that He's promised that He'll never leave us nor forsake us, that He'll give us the grace that we need in time of need, and so on. There needs to be a giving of thanks for what He's done for us in the past. And you know, in a time when we start doing that, then we start to realize, hey, this is someone I can leave this problem with, and He will answer it because He's done it in the past as well. And in these times when our thoughts are so full of either anger or anxiety or lust, we need to start filling ourselves with thoughts on the Lord and how good and how pure and how lovely and how just He is. And a good way to start is by giving thanks for all the things He has done in the past. That's a very good way to start filling your mind with the right things. Now, after that, we drift into verse 8, where we start to be told what we are to dwell on. We are to dwell on the right things, and it ends, as I said, in the verse where it says, think on these things. And verse 8 gives us a guideline for what we are to dwell in, what we are to have a habit of thinking on. We are very good at having habits on what we think on. And if you're sitting there and you're saying, well, I feel just so sad all the time, or I get depressed, or I'm just so covetous, or blah, 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 I'll guarantee you have a habit of thinking on the wrong things. I'll guarantee what fills your mind the most does not fit in verse 8. Guarantee it. But if you are able to change your thinking, and you start making sure that nothing comes into your mind, and particularly nothing stays in your mind and gets hashed over continually in your mind unless it fits verse 8, well, I tell you what, then you'll find those feelings will slowly go away. Because the reality is the mind is the battlefield for the believer. It's the thoughts that will translate into attitudes and also into actions. But it all starts with the thoughts. And Paul gives us a list of qualities to think on. And I dare say you've heard many messages on these things. And I'm not going to certainly take a long time to look at them. But I might add that the reality is, with each one of these, we could just stop and dwell on the Lord, and He fits the bill with all of them. All right? First one is true. If we could just think on everything that is true about God. And that would be wonderful, lovely, good, so on. God fits the bill for all of these. If you want to start with thinking on something, well, you start to dwell on God and who He is. But the reality is, you can't live through your life and just think on God. As nice as that would be, but there are things coming into our life continually where we've got to work out, am I going to start dwelling on these things or not? And this is where the list comes into play, and I would encourage all believers to have these verses memorized. And the first thing it says is, think on things which are true. Now, I don't think any of us are going to on purpose think on lies. I'm going to just dwell on that lie that that person told me. We don't do that. We're not that silly. But what about speculation? What about suspicion? Things that might be true or may not be true. we are very good at dwelling on those things. And sometimes our mind can just be so filled and flooded with suspicions and speculation to the point where it consumes our mind. And I don't think any of us have left this church like where it's never happened, where you're suspecting that someone's thinking something about you or they've said something about you. You're not sure if they actually like you or not. And then you dwell on it for a while, and then it actually affects the way that you act towards them because you think they don't like you because they walked past you and they didn't say hello to you, and so I'm pretty sure that they don't like me now, and then that's all you're thinking about for a while, and then it changes everything else. We're very good at dwelling on things that maybe are not really true. We need to make sure something is totally true before we start to dwell on it. You know, it also says there, honest is the next one. The word honest can be translated grave, where deacons are to be grave, and it means to be solemn or noble. For example, we shouldn't let our thoughts slosh around in the gutter just for the sake of a joke, for example. We need to pull our mind up out of the gutter and think on noble things. Think on right things. There are so many things that are not noble, not good, not honest, that we can think on, but we need to think on noble things. It says just there. That can be translated righteous, and the opposite, the righteous, is unjust or wrong. And sadly, you know, the world has bombarded our minds so much that so often we as believers react and think like unbelievers more so than believers, where something happens and then, boom, we act just like the world in that time. We try and solve problems just like the world. We think in an unrighteous way. But we need to see the reality is those unrighteous thoughts where we are tempted to steal, tempted to lie, tempted to cheat, tempted to be selfish, to get personal gain. These things are thoughts that need to be cast down. They're not the way a believer should be thinking. And the next one there on the list is pure. And we know very well that our society wants to bombard us with things that are not pure. That's just the way the world is. Purity is not the emphasis today. Pleasure is. And the reality is, purity is made out as a joke, as something from the Dark Ages. And if you want to search the world and the worldly system for pure things, you're going to have a hard time trying to find it. But what that should tell us is, if our focus and our source of things pounding into our head are from the world, if we consume ourselves with the radio stations and the movies and the TV and the internet sites and so on from the world, we can be sure that our mind is being flooded with impure things, not pure things. The world doesn't care if it's pure or not. It's just interested in it if it's pleasurable. And if we put ourselves in that same firing line, that's what's going to influence our mind. And then you're going to find it very hard to think purely. And brethren, we must have Christ-exalting music, Christ-exalting conversations, Christ-exalting fellowship. Otherwise, we will always find our mind filled with impure thoughts. It's the way it goes. Also says they're lovely. Whatsoever things are lovely. We know who Paul thought was lovely. We're told that in the chapter previous, there was only one person he wanted to know. And that was that knowledge of Jesus Christ. That was who was lovely for him. And he wanted to dwell on those things. And I think sometimes we can dwell on so many things that just aren't lovely. They may be mean, they may be cruel, they are unpleasant. We can fill our mind with so many unpleasant, awful things and wonder why then we start to act in unpleasant, cruel, violent, awful ways when it's just a product of our mind. And then it says of a good report. And I'm not going to go through really much more. You know, but one thing about good report is that's just things that are actually honest and true and right. And you know, the more you watch, listen to the radio particularly, you discover that the commentators, they quite openly are happy to say that the things that are evil are okay, don't they? And then with the things that are righteous and good, they will mock and say that they're bad. And we should not forget the influence it has on our mind. And that says, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Virtue is moral goodness, praise is commendation. If you want to have virtue in your life, purity, if you want to be praised or be praiseworthy, well then these are the things that we ought to be thinking upon. And so verse 8 is a very good screening verse, and oftentimes when people are having struggles with their feelings, which are generally due to their thoughts, these are the verses I tell them to start memorizing straight away and let that be their guard and their guide. And if something doesn't match up with verse 8, well then you don't let it in, or you cut off the sources where it's being reinforced continually, and then if it's in there, you cast it down and get rid of it, and you replace it with godly thinking instead. And brethren, you would be amazed if you're willing to do your part, how God then will take His grace and His divine enabling and keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. And you know, there are certain ways that we need to be doing that. You know, the way that we start to change our thought patterns just doesn't happen by hearing a message and saying, oh, well, yeah, that's what I need to do. It takes hard work. And generally, you need someone to be on your back with it, and someone that you have to give an account to, and to start dwelling on it. If you've put up evil strongholds in your minds, it doesn't go away very easily. It generally takes help from a brother or sister that will be your friend and help you through that. But, you know, you need to do, there's like, you can't just take, you know, like if your doctor gives you something to make you better and he says take 3 tablets a day and you think, oh, okay, well, I'll take 1. I don't think I'll need the 3. We all know that's ridiculous. And when it comes to changing our thought patterns and our minds, there are things in the Word of God that, throughout it, that tells us what we need to be doing. We know that we are to meditate on the Word of God. We are to read it and think about it daily. You know, I'm telling you now, if you have a regular quiet time, I know you're having troubles with your thoughts. Good, bad thoughts, in one way or another. I know you are. Because if you can't dwell on the Word of God just for that short a time, can you imagine how little you're getting of God's thoughts composed of what's running around in your head for the rest of the day? I know you're having trouble. And then it starts with memorizing Scripture. We're told that. We are to memorize it and know it. And you'll find that if you're trying to get through the day trying to memorize something, and generally it's hard for all of us, you'll find how it's a lot harder to think on those other things that you've been thinking about all the time. You need to saturate yourself in the Word of God and memorizing it. You need to listen to godly music. You know, words that actually help as a meditation on the Word of God. Not this ridiculous stuff that the world has to offer, but actually God-fearing, God-honoring music and the lyrics that actually build you up in the things of God. And then there's listening to messages started rather than the radio. You know, when I was a younger man, when I was getting out of all this goo that I got myself into, I would constantly be listening to messages. I had a tape recorder in those days, you had to carry that around. But wherever I was, if I was painting, if I was driving, if I was sitting somewhere, I just listened to preaching messages and just let the Word of God just sink into my head. And then there's the books, godly books, and to surround yourself with Christ-like friends who are going to build you up rather than drag you down. If you've got friends that are dragging you down, want to take you down to those pits of filth, well then get rid of them until at least you're strong enough to rebuke them and help them to get out of it. But when we do these things, only when we are willing to do this, That's when we can start to enjoy that peace of God that passes all understanding as He keeps our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And so, you know, there's a lot there, and that just gives you an idea of what can happen if you're truly willing to change those things, those thought patterns that build up in our mind. Let's pray. Father, we do know that we need You, not just for the big things, but Lord, for those daily thoughts that come through our mind. I pray, dear Father, that Lord, if there are those within our midst tonight that are struggling with their thoughts, and it's affecting their life, that Lord, they will not listen to the lie of the devil that it'll go away one day, but that Lord, they need to humble themselves before You, and Lord, seek Your ways, that Father, You may renew their mind. And I pray this in Jesus' name.